At a rally, the Rebbe explained the lesson learned from Shiva Asar Thomas. The days of Bein HaMetzarim begin with this day when the wall around Yerushalayim was breached. The word Yerushalayim is composed of two words, Yarei Shalem. Yerushalayim is the symbol of Yerushalayim. Before Galus, Yerushalayim is protected with a wall, and anything against the Yiddishkeit cannot enter. They never saw on Shabbos Kodesh any Chilul Shabbos, like a car driving, etc. They never saw not kosher food in a store window, etc. Galus begins when the wall of Yerushalayim is broken, and we live exposed to the Goyish world. We see cars driving on Shabbos, stores selling not kosher foods, and not Yiddish children eating them. Now, the fight with the Yetzer Hara is much harder. The days of Bein HaMetzarim teach us not to become weak in Chas V'Shalom by this Nisayon. On the contrary, to strengthen ourselves and overcome the challenge by fortifying the wall that separates us from all Goyish matters, until the wall becomes completed again. Through this, we turn over these days to days of joy with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, taken from Yad Mamash. The Gemara in Masecht Eidavin says that the Chachamim didn't allow Yidden to make an Eidav with a Goy. Instead, they must rent the Goy's home. This will cause the Yidden to move away from the Goy's Chatzar and not learn from his Goyish ways. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that the Chachamim didn't allow people to take ribbis from a Goy. In order that he shouldn't come to spend time with a Goy and learn from his actions. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah explains why the Chachamim asked to eat bread and cooked items of a Goy, so that a Yid should not get friendly with them through food, and then Chas V'Shalom come to do an Aveda. The Chassid Reb Avraham from Zembin would not look out of his windows on Shabbos Kodesh. Although all the townspeople were shamed at Shabbos, he was afraid that he would see a Goy traveling through the city. He said, if one sees Chilul Shabbos, even through a Goy, it makes a pigam in the Neshama. The Friedrich Rebbe describes in his Sefer Zechronis how the Alter Rebbe's father, Reb Baruch, lost his parents at the age of 14. He traveled away from his aunt in Vitebsk, going from city to city and from town to town for 3 years, until he arrived in Lyazna. There, he eventually became a guard of an orchard that was rented by two Yidden by the name of Reb Avraham and Reb Azriel from the local parents. Baruch enjoyed his peace and quiet, and would spend his days and nights davening and learning. No one knew his greatness in Torah and Aveda. Once the time to pick the fruits arrived, the situation changed. Now, Reb Avraham and Reb Azriel and their families and other workers spent their days in the orchard, gathering and boxing all the fruits. Baruch also helped out. His appearance made a strong impression on all. He was physically built and handsome. He had a sweet voice and spoke a fluent Polish, which impressed the Goyim as well. One day, the poet himself and his family made a visit to the orchard. Baruch caught the poet's attention, and he engaged in a discussion with him. He was amazed to hear his rich language. The poet presented him to his family. Baruch noticed that the Paritz's daughter was not able to remove her eyes from him. He felt very uncomfortable from all this attention he was getting. The next day, the Paritz and his family came back just to speak with Baruch. After their talk, he invited Baruch to come visit him in his estate. Baruch did not respond to their invitation. One evening, while Baruch was alone in the orchard, suddenly the door to his tent opened up, and there stood the Paritz's son. Good evening, said the young Paritz. My father invited you to come spend the night with us. we know it's very lonely out here. Baruch knew that this visit will not bring good results. He told the youth that he can't leave the orchard without any watch. The boy left, but returned a short while later with two men with big watchdogs, saying, "Here, they'll take care of the job while you're gone." Baruch was stuck. For his own sake, he would refuse the pirates' offer, but understanding that this can cause the pirates to pour out his anger on the Yidden of Liozna, he decided to accept the welcome. He made up in his heart that he will not show any fear by the pirates, and he will come with Yiddish pride in the spirit of Torah. Baruch was received at the castle with great friendship. This did not please him at all. He took his first opportunity to show his confidence by not removing his hat. He explained in a pure Polish how every moment one must feel the presence of Hashem. So how can a Yid remain even one second with a bare head? The Pardes and his family were deeply impressed by Baruch's self-assurance and boldness. They were used to seeing a Yid as subservient and trembling. They were shocked to see such pride by a simple Yiddish watchman. The Pardes had such respect for Baruch that he covered his own head with his hat. Baruch entered in a deep discussion about the importance of every Yiddish minhag. He made it clear to the pirates how it is unfair for anyone to use their power to interfere with another's way of life and belief. Baruch showed them his great wisdom and knowledge, and he explained to them many psukim and memara chazal in fluent Polish. He contrasted to them two separate worlds, the goyish world of materialism and the Yiddish world of Ruchnius. The Pardes drank with thirst all of Baruch's words, but his children were not happy with the turn the conversation had taken. They preferred it should be of lighter nature. They told Baruch that they would come themselves to the orchard tomorrow to schmooze with him. Baruch blushed. He foresaw the danger in this friendship. His mind was racing how to get out of this. Meanwhile, he was invited into the dining room. There he found a room full of delicacies. Baruch decided not to touch anything, although the food was permitted for a Yid, in order to distance himself from a stronger relationship. The excuse why he wasn't eating wasn't needed, because at that moment the Pardes' youngest, a young child, burned himself with boiling hot water. Everybody ran to help with the emergency. Baruch took the opportunity and slipped away back to the orchard. That night, he could not sleep. What would he do if the Pardes' children come tomorrow to speak with him? He said to Hillel with tears all throughout the night. The next day, Baruch heard that the Pardes' child died. He felt some pain in his heart, but didn't express it to anyone. As the day passed, Baruch felt restless, knowing that the Pardes' children will come despite their recent tragedy. He decided to reveal his situation to Rebbe Avraham, and that he would have to leave his job at the orchard. Rebbe Avraham accepted Baruch's request, and that night Rebbe Avraham and Rebbe Zvil took over the watch at the orchard. Later that evening, Baruch's suspicions were justified when the Pardes' son and daughter arrived at the tent. When they heard that Baruch was no longer there, they went home disappointed. Baruch received his pay from the partners and was not able to return to the Beis HaMedrash, davening and learning for the next while. A Yiddish store owner in Crown Heights related the following incident. He would watch the Rebbe walk by his store daily. He noticed how the Rebbe would wave and greet his goyish neighbor, and to him, the Rebbe would give a simple nod. When he approached the Rebbe about this, the Rebbe responded, "I never bowed my head to a goy." The Degel Machne Ephraim once said that my heilige grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, Zkus Yagen Aleinu, once went to the mikveh in a place that was populated with goyim. On his way back, he was afraid that a goy should not touch him, chas v'shalom. While going, he heard two goyim talking one to another. "Be careful that you shouldn't touch this contaminated yid." The Degel Machne Ephraim explained, "This is the meaning of the pasuk, Hen am levada dishkein. The yidin don't mingle with the goyim. Why? Because uba goyim lo yis chashav. The yidin are not chashav, important in the goyim's eyes. And this is a teva for the yid." In this week's parsha, Parshas Pinchas, the Torah tells us of the schar Hashem gave Pinchas for his kanaas against the Yidin's relation with Midian, and the command to the Yidin to wage war against Midian. Later, Rashi explains why each of the families counted is surrounded with the same Yudke. Hashem testified on the Kedusha and Havdalah of the Yidin in Mitzrayim. May we merit to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi with the Geula Shlema right now. Hatzlacha Rabba. The phone line will, Yirtz Hashem, be updated on Monday, Chaf Aleph Tammuz.